Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Matthew chapter number 5, we'll begin at verse number 33 and read through verse number 37. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. Whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Lord, I pray you'd open this truth to us and open our hearts to receive it. May all that it does make us more like you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I spoke to this last time as we tried to share concerning verses 31 and 32, which one specifically was on divorce. And as we talked about divorce, we talked about marriage, and that obviously led to the commitment that is found in marriage, which primarily is based upon the vows, the spoken word by two individuals, and how that God honors, actually is a witness to those vows that are given. So I don't believe in any way that what the Lord was doing when he leads them now directly into speaking concerning oaths and swearing, that was happenstance. The greatest of commitments, obviously, is, I think at least could be considered, would be marriage. And when two people take those vows and they make them to each other, that when God witnesses that, it is binding. It's not just sealed on earth, but I believe that commitment is sealed in heaven. And then Jesus begins to speak concerning directly about forswearing, or swearing and using God in the process. And he says to them, you've heard by them of old time, speaking of their forefathers and maybe even the prophets, he said, you've heard that they said, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord all thine oaths. I want to read to us tonight for text or context three different scriptures from the Old Testament. And I found it compelling when I was trying to study what the essence of the passage was. You know, a lot of the Sermon on the Mount dealt with multiple of the Ten Commandments. We spoke to them directly as we touched each one of them as we began Matthew chapter number 5. And when I saw this one, I thought for sure that what he's dealing with is the ninth commandment, which is bearing false witness. But the more I studied it, the more it became clear. And even as I tried to check a commentary that I use, it was not necessarily the ninth commandment, but the third. And the third commandment is this, Exodus chapter number 20. And your Bible may even give a reference to Exodus 20, verse 7, as you read that verse of Scripture in 33. It says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You'll find in Leviticus chapter number 19, verse 12, he said, and ye shall not swear by my name, falsely. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. In Numbers chapter 30, verse number 2, he said, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Now, each one of us, having read the first four verses there and hearing those Old Testament verses, may say to ourselves, well, this is one of those things that really just doesn't apply to me. And I hope that we truly understand what it is Jesus is trying to say. In verse number 33, he said, here's what you've heard. You've heard that what's required in the third commandment is that you keep the Lord's name and that you don't use it in vain, especially when you make a swear or an oath or a promise. And yet what Jesus is saying is that it's much more than that. And he's going to go into detail and share with them specifically, but I want us to understand what forswear means. What does it mean to forswear thyself? And so in this study, I jotted this down. It means to never falsely swear or to unnecessarily swear. It might be easier for us to understand it if we use a different word. Maybe I should say the term perjure or perjury. In a court of law, when you're to give a testimony, I believe they still do this. They'll hold a Bible out there and they'll have you put your hand on it. And you're to say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Now, that is making a swear, and it is also calling God as the witness. Now, in that particular circumstance, that would not be a false swear as long as you did what you said. As long as you told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now, that's where we get ourselves in trouble, is that it often is more difficult to do exactly what we have promised to do than we thought it would be. Many people perjure themselves by saying they will do one thing and then doing something completely different. I'll ask a question. Is a man's word still his bond? Should it be accepted today that when I say to you, I will, that I need not swear to it? Should my character or my life or the witness of my own life be enough that when I say to you, yes, I will, that's enough? Often many people feel like they have to swear to something because the person looking at them don't actually believe they're going to do what they say. And so we often have to try to convince them that I'm not lying, that I will go through with it or I will carry it out. And we find ourselves making commitments that we draw God into that are quite dangerous to be made. For what he said in Exodus 20 was, is that when you use the Lord's name in any circumstance, when you call on God to be a witness to something that you are promising to do, then you have called God to hold you accountable for that. And what God said was, is I will not allow you to be unguilty. I will not hold you guiltless. Easier said, you are guilty not only before the one that you lied to, but to God as the witness. So I think we ought to be very careful anytime that we use God's name. Right? I remember as a kid, I used to hear it a lot on the playground and at school. People would say, I swear to God. And for some reason or another, it bothered me. I didn't really know why. But I couldn't do it myself. I just never would say it. And I was always taught not to say God or by God or any of those things, as that is an improper use of the word God.
It is taking God's name in vain. Amen. And I believe we can be careful in all kinds of things not to use his name unless we're talking to him. That's the best reference. Is if you're speaking to him or you're telling somebody specifically about him, then use his name. Use the name Jesus. But if it ain't in that context, then don't put it in your vocabulary to use just as a byword, just as something that helps you fill out a sentence, just something to help you carry on to the next conversation. Do not use the holy name of God, nor his son, nor the Lord, nor Christ, nor anything that refers to the deity of our Savior in a way that is vain or improper. Now, people will go as far as to say, I swear by the heavens. And what Jesus said was, is the important thing is you recognize is that you really don't have the power to swear by anything. And so what Jesus said is, here's what you've heard. You've heard that it's important not to forswear thyself. And if you're going to swear, you better keep it. He said, but I say unto you, and may I say to you again, that whenever the I am says, but I say, you better pay attention to what he's saying. Because what he's saying is applicable to our lives. He said, but I say unto you, swear not at all. Don't ever swear. Now, there may be times you have to stand in the courtroom and you may have to say, I swear to tell the truth. Just tell the truth, right? If you have to do that, tell the truth. That's not improper swearing as long as you intended it and you did it. Because God will not hold you guiltless. I thought about those when they make the marriage vows and they make that promise, right? And actually the officiant of the marriage, he's going to ask them, do you promise? And they say, I do. Now, may I say to you, when you say I do, there is a witness, right? Not only are there witnesses in the crowd that one of them will sign the paper, including the officiant, but God is the witness to that. Yeah. And that is a commitment, that is a vow that is made that simply God honors. And friend, when we try to put it asunder, we have violated and him as a witness. And brother, he will not hold us guiltless. A very important thing. Jesus said, here's what I say to you. Don't swear at all. Now, you might be caught off guard by some of the things that could be considered swearing. I want to give you one that you'll find in the book of Ruth. Now, it wasn't improper because I believe that Ruth carried it through, but I certainly believe it was dangerous. Here's what Ruth said to Naomi, her mother-in-law. You'll remember it. It's in the last part. Actually, you'll find it in a lot of marriage vows. She said, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. And then she said, the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Now, boy, that was a dangerous thing to say. She was calling God as her witness. And she was making a statement that I will never leave you. Now that is a dangerous thing to do. Because God will not hold us guiltless. When we invoke his name and call upon him as a witness to our promise, here's what we can be certain of. God never forgets what we said. He never lets that go. And I thought to myself, my goodness, what a commitment Ruth made to her mother-in-law. Now, I have no reason to believe that she didn't keep it, right? We know she got married and so on, but I believe she took her mother-in-law everywhere she went. I believe she kept her vow. There's some things we need to be careful of. When we say, I swear, or so help me God, right, we are calling God's name and we are bringing his name into a circumstance whether we thought it was real or not. When you invoke the name of God, you basically have used it in vain. Don't think for a minute he just overlooks that. He said he would not leave us guiltless when we take his name in vain. Jesus said, but I say unto you, that the best thing to do is to not swear at all. He said, don't swear by heaven. He said, for that is God's throne. You can't swear by heaven. Heaven's not yours to swear by. Right? So you're doing just the same as using God's name. You're actually using God's house, heaven. You're saying, I swear by heaven, when you have no control over heaven. The only way you're even getting to heaven is through God. And yet we use something like heaven to swear by. He said, don't swear by heaven. He said, neither swear by the earth. And some like to use phrases that would even invoke as if the earth somehow or another provides some kind of validity to what we're trying to say. I think what Jesus was trying to get to is, why is it you must swear at all? Right? Why is it people don't believe you enough that when you say yes, that's sufficient? Why is it that you have to say, I swear to do this, or I swear to do that, or I swear by heaven or by earth, or by the city of Jerusalem, which he even included Jerusalem, it being the city of God. What he was saying was, is there's no need to swear by any of those because you don't control any of that. You have no right in any of those. You don't have any ownership in any of those. As a matter of fact, all of those are of God. And so it's just the same as saying, I invoke God's name in this promise. He goes as far to say, well, some might say, I swear by my own head, right? I swear by my own self. And yet God, or Jesus here, said you needn't even make that swear, because you can't make one hair on your head black or white. You don't know how long you'll live. You don't know what you'll die of. You have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. He's in control of your very breath. You're going to leave here when your days are numbered. What makes you think that you have any ownership of your own life in order to even invoke your own name as whereby to make a swear or an oath? Obviously, the best thing for us to do is not swear at all. Not swear at all. And in everything that we do, we ought to be careful that if we promise to do something, we need to do it. Period. It used to be a very important thing for a man to say that his word was good. Right? And it meant something to the people around him, right? When you would mention a certain fellow's name, that those other people would say, that's a good man. You know why he was a good man? Because he did what he said. That primarily is what it was, is the man just always did what he said, which means you could trust him. He was dependable. He was upright, integritous. Those are the things that we're looking for to share salt and light into a world. Let me tell you something. If there's ever anything that might depict the country or the culture that we live in, it's deceit. Lies. Aren't they everywhere? Don't you think that salt and light might be evident through men of a good word? I'm talking about a faithful man and woman. A person that says, when they say they're going to do it, you can count on it. They'll do everything within their power to make it happen. Now, it brings up another scenario. We can obviously go into the book of James, and he warns us, listen, don't tell people you're going to do stuff, because the truth is, you don't know. Right? You say you're going to be here tomorrow, but truth is, best thing to do is say, if it's God's will. Now, that's a proper use of God's name, is if to say, you say, will you be here tomorrow? Well, you can say yes, but it might be better to say, Lord willing. Or if it's God's will, I'll be there. Right? Those are the better ways to say that, lest we commit ourselves to something that we truly, really don't have the authority or the power or the knowledge or the sovereignty to even commit to. We need to be careful about what we say and what we promise and what we share with somebody. You know, a lot of times we'll say things in passing to someone and they take it, right? And they believe it and they expect it. And 3 weeks from now they say, why didn't you do that? And you say, do what? Right? Because you didn't even remember saying it. That's half our problem. Is we, number one, we say too much, and Jesus addresses that in verse 37. I'll get there in a minute. We say too much a lot of times, but secondly, we simply don't do what we say. We don't pay attention to those things that we commit to, that we have agreed to, that we have, what we've signed up for. We don't pay attention enough to recognize that what we are doing is putting our word on the line. Because I believe it ought to still matter. It ought to matter that Brenda's word is her bond. Right? And that if I ask Brenda to do something and she says yes, I'm going to consider that done. Ain't that the way we ought to be? That's the way I want to be. I want to be that way. That people can depend on us. They can trust us. Well, if there's ever been a time that people aren't trustworthy, they're not dependable. You can ask them to do something, they'll say they'll do it, and you'll stand there waiting. They don't even let you know they ain't coming. Much less not care that they didn't come. That's what we need to be careful, that we're different than the world. And Jesus is saying it's better for us to take this to heart. Don't swear at all. He said, no, the best thing to do, verse 37 as we close, he said, the best thing is just let your communication be yes, yes, or no, no. I mean, simply, it ought to be just yes, right? But if they look at you and say, you mean it, well, say it twice. Yes, yes. But don't say no more than that. Any more than that, and you're going to have to invoke some kind of something you don't have any control over if you're going to try to swear by anything. The truth is, you don't have any power to swear by anything. Yeah. So you can't, right? When you're swearing to something, you're simply trying to convince them you'll really do it. When the truth is, a simple yes or no should suffice. Now, if you have to, say it twice. Is that applicable? Jesus did it. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Did he not? See, there were many times that Jesus used verily twice. Why'd he use it twice? Same reason. Right? He's saying, I am absolutely promising. I am assuring you, verily, verily, right? And so he says to us, let your communication just be yes, yes, no, no. As I think back to some of the people of my life, men, mostly men, that I thought there, if ever there were men whose word was their bond, as I began to think about them this week, it reminded me they were men of few words. You ever thought about that? They didn't say much. But what they did say, they did. And I had to pray a little about that. I said, my problem is I talk too much. I might ought to be a man of less words, and then I'd be less culpable or less liable for things I said I couldn't keep. Might be better off if we just didn't say as much. He said, let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. I think it's important for us to take these things and apply them now, right? You can come listen to the message and say, oh, that was a nice one, and check it off, and it didn't really mean anything to you. But the importance is that when you leave here, that when you go back into the world, you are salt and light because you are applying the truth of God's word. When Jesus said, but I say unto you, swear not at all. We need to take that to heart and to recognize that at the essence of what he's trying to get to is that our word ought to mean something. All right. I'm going to close with this. Why should my word mean something? Because his does. Right? How many would say, absolutely, whatever God says, you can count on it. Right? Don't we just love the truth that he never changes? That he's always the same. That his word never fails. Isn't it awesome to know that when I read this book, it's just the same today as it was 1,000 years ago. Don't you love that? Don't you think of that? And when you think, you just say, That's God. And you know what God's wanting us to be? He's wanting us to be like that. That when our word is given, that it doesn't matter if it's a lost person, a saved person, that when they hear our word, they know they will do what they say. I tell you right now, the best thing that we can do to be ambassadors for Christ, to be children of our Father, is to reflect His image. God keeps His word. Amen. God keeps His word. According to the Scripture, He never lies. That's where the rubber meets the road, don't it? That's where it ought to hit us in the heart, is that our testimonies are influenced by our compromising our good word. We ought to be more careful, more disciplined, more willing before we say something to make certain how we say it and to pay attention to what we say to make sure we always do what we say. All right, I'm guilty. I'm going to close with this one though. Feel like I done said that, but I'm going to close with this one. In the book of Acts, let me give you a dangerous warning here. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? You remember the story. Ananias and Sapphira was supposed to sold this land and got this price and gave it all to the church. But what they actually did was sold that land, got this price, and only gave this to the church, but told them. And what Peter said to Ananias was, he said, why? He said, why, Ananias, did you lie? Not to me. Not to me. That's who Ananias was talking to. It was Peter. But Peter said, you wasn't lying to me. He said, you lied to the Holy Ghost to keep back part of the price of the land. He said, while it remained, he said, was it not your own? That's right. And he said, after you sold it, was it not still in your own power? Amen. He said, why then hast thou conceived this thing in your heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? You've lied unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And it reminds me of Exodus 20 and 7, where he said, I will not hold you guiltless. Jesus said this. He said, as oft as you do this unto one of the least of these, my brethren. Right? And I understand he was talking about acts of service. But it's applicable here too. As oft as you lie to one of the least of these, my brethren, he said, you've lied to me. You've lied to me. That's what Peter was telling him. He said, Ananias, why did you lie to God? We need to be careful, right? This is material that functionally, if we will apply it to our lives, will make us more like Christ. Let our communication be yes or no. We don't have to swear. If we have to swear, then we got a problem with our own integrity and the person that's asking us to swear to it, right? Right, person said, do you swear? I said, no, we're not going to swear. We're not going to swear. Look, if you don't believe me, that's the real problem. Is that, but I've lived a life before you that's not believable. That makes you question my integrity and my commitment to do what I say. If ever there's been a time in this world that we need men and women to be keepers of their word, it's now. That's salt and light. That is salt and light. That will affect people in this world. May we live that way. All right.
I'm not going to dismiss or have an invitation. I'm just going to say, chew on that one, and I hope it makes you stronger. It sure convicted me quite a bit, and I'm grateful for it. I appreciate His Word because it never changes. Amen. And it's always good, and it's good for us. All right, pray one for another.